Okay, it is 4:00. I'm gonna go ahead and call this meeting to order. I just wanna welcome everyone to the Savannah Chatham County Historic Site and Monument Commission. This is December the 14th for 2023. We have just a couple items on the agenda. The first order of business, however, is to approve the October 5th meeting minutes. If there is a motion.
This is Catherine. I move we accept the minutes.
Is there a second?
Eileen second.
There we go. So without objection, meeting minutes for the October 5th meeting are accepted. So first order of business is the petition of the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Garden Club. And we'll first hear from staff on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval for a monument application part two, final design and funding, to install a commemorative fountain in honor of the late Mary R. Myrick in the center of Cavanaugh Park with the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent neighborhood. The monument design also includes two plaques that provide context for the monument's significance. Per the applicant, the proposed monument is a minor monument, 500 cubic feet or less, in celebration of the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Garden Club's 50th anniversary. The fountain would be dedicated to its founder, Mary R. Myrick. It would be a lasting tribute that would stand the test of time and add elegance to the natural beauty of Ardsley Park. At the July 13th, 2023 Historic Site and Monument Commission meeting, part one, theme, location, and preliminary design, was approved to be recommended to City Council with the condition of ensuring that grammatical and historical accuracy for the plaque text to be submitted with part two was done. On August 10th, 2023, the Savannah City Council meeting, part one was unanimously approved. With the part two submittal, the applicant has shown how they met the part one approval condition on August 25th, 2023. Kim Holcomb with the Georgia Historical Society confirmed the historical accuracy, and on October 13th, 2023, Tish Hamilton, professor of writing at SCAD, made grammatical edits. And just to provide a refresher on the project, show the design. Photos of the park. Map where it will be placed. The scale dimension site plan. A close-up of that. And our elevation drawing. And the text for the monument was included as well, and as mentioned, was cross-referenced for accuracy. For part two, the applicant has finalized those design details and provided a detailed breakdown of the budget and funding. Staff finds the information meets the standards and guidelines. Public notice as required in the master planning guidelines, written notice sent to all property owners and the neighborhood association within 200 feet of the subject property. So some of that information was included with part one, but also added upon for part two. So the kind of a more detailed breakdown of the estimated time frame from this meeting to kind of what's happening next, site prep, everything to the day or month at least of the fountain dedication. The detailed budget was provided, funds secured, and also broken down into what's here, and also a maintenance schedule. And comments were not received from the written notice that was mailed. With that, staff recommends that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to City Council for the application of Part 2, Final Design and Funding, for the creation of a commemorative fountain dedicated to Mary R. Myrick to be installed in Cavanaugh Park as requested, because the project meets the standards and the master planning guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. Thank you.
Thanks, Caitlin. Before Catherine asked a question. I just want to say this again, that this still remains one of the most well put together applications we've seen here. So kudos to the applicants for that. This should be a template for applications going forward. Any questions? Catherine asked a question.
Can you go back to page 16? The text. I'm just curious why it's in honor of Mrs. Shelby Myrick and just instead of saying Mary Robinson Myrick.
That would be a question for the applicant.
Okay.
I don't have the answer.
Okay. Let me see if there are any other questions of staff. If there's not any questions of staff, we'll let the petitioner. Any other questions of staff? Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Real quick, just for clarification, when City Council approved phase one, they didn't have any additional requirements or anything like that. Like I know previously they had there was a different item that had come up, not at all related to this, where they said, yeah, we'll just give it the approval and then it'll come back to the site and monument submission for different phase approval. So nothing with phase one or
there wasn't anything additional.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Okay. Good question. Any other questions of staff? If there's no other questions of staff, then we can have the petitioner come up, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Trish Lawrence, president of the Arthur Park Chatham Crescent Garden Club. We kind of teetered back and forth on Mrs. Shelby Myrick and Mary R. Myrick. Back in Mrs. Myrick's time, which in the 20s, 30s, 40s, in the history of our garden club, most of the women were always Mrs. Shelby Myrick, Mrs. Randy Lawrence, Mrs. So she's noted in a lot of the publications about her that we find as Mrs. Shelby Myrick. So we kind of wanted to honor both of those. You know, we're certainly open to recommendations as to what you feel is appropriate.
Well, I was just curious, why wouldn't you put her name first and Mrs. Shelby Myrick underneath it? Because you're saying that you're honoring a strong woman.
Okay. Good point.
And yeah, I get that. My mother-in-law always addressed my greeting cards to my husband's name.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that tradition, but I'm going with what y'all have said. I just was curious as to why you were giving her a second.
We'd be open to that, and I agree with your reasoning behind that. Speaking of the text, we're still kind of in a little bit of negotiation of that. What the issue is when we go to the plaque, it's a lot of words, and they stretch it out to try and do a justified edging. So we may tweak some of the copy. If indeed that does happen, should we come in front of you again with the same approvals?
I don't think that's necessary. I mean, does anyone else? I don't think that's necessary.
Okay, great. Thank you. But we will make that note of putting Mary R. Myrick first and Mrs. Shelby second. I do have two letters of recommendation. One is from Catherine Gessler, which is Mrs. Myrick's granddaughter. She sent us a letter supporting that. And also from Lisa Hall. She's the president of the Garden Club of Georgia out of Athens. And she also supports the project as well as contributing funds. And Mrs. Gessler does as well.
That's great. Do you have physical copies or are they
I
emails?
Do.
If you have physical copies, you can give them to Caitlin and she can enter it into the public record.
Okay.
Any other questions of the petitioner on this one? Sean.
Yes, Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This actually might go back to staff. I don't know, so I'm going to ask it. Just be ready, Caitlin. So you had mentioned that you're still in negotiation, that you liked the commissioner's suggestion previously about putting Mary Myrick first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was for plaque one, and correct me if I'm wrong, plaque one was approved in phase one, correct?
Both plaques were approved.
Okay. Never mind then. So with that said, if for some reason that does change, does the order then have to
yep.
– hang on, let me make sure I've got it right. So do we actually then have to – since it was approved in phase one or the first go around, if you will, would we then have to reapprove it if there's a change? I know the chairman just said if there's due to the negotiation, which would come later, but since we know about it right now, does it have to, is it going to affect anything?
I would think a minor change like that wouldn't.
Okay.
So,
I mean, that might be our prerogative, but I mean, as long as there's no substantive changes,
yeah.
You know.
Or you could even do a staff level review and yeah. If.
I mean, I don't want to put too much burden on them to if it's just a switcheroo of a couple words. But I mean,
I'm just making sure that nobody gets all bent out of shape because, oh, well, it was approved as Miss Myrick and now it's showing as Shelby Myrick. Me, I agree with the commissioner's statements previously. So, but it's whatever. I think it's a great fountain. I think it's great work as well. So thank you.
Okay, we can certainly run that by you again once we finalize that. Like I said,
sure, and that could be at staff level. You know, you don't have to. We don't have to okay. Do this.
Any other questions?
Yes,
ma'am.
After the last meeting where this was first brought before us, I reached out to her two grandsons, mm-hmm. Carson and Hayes Myrick, and they were thrilled, absolutely thrilled. They could not be here today. They're my nephews.
Oh,
there and
small town.
They just got tears in their eyes. They were so thrilled.
Yes, so thank you.
I've been keeping them apprised of this project.
Thank you. We asked Catherine to do that as well on the family side. So I appreciate you keeping them connected as well. Any other questions?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Any other questions of petitioner? I just wanted to say thank you for getting the text vetted and all that sort of thing. And but you know that's something that we were just wanting to make sure everything was, you know, as accurate as possible. So I appreciate you working with us on that. And again, like I said, this is a great project, well put together, well thought out, well executed so far. So, I mean, can't wait to see it when it's finally up. And please invite us to, pending approval, please invite us to any kind of unveiling or anything.
Mrs. Myrick's birthday was June 12th, so we're hoping with this timeline for it to be a June 12th dedication.
Oh, great.
That's a Wednesday. So that's what we're going to target, so hopefully that will happen. And I'll certainly keep you in the loop with that. One other thing, Polly Stram, is that the correct pronunciation of her name? She has indicated that she would want more some of our information on Mrs. Myrick, so I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to see Mrs. Myrick will come out at some point in time. We haven't met with her yet, but she did indicate that she was interested in speaking with us. So
that's great.
Good things come from it.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Did anyone else want to speak on behalf of the petitioner? I don't think, was there anyone here to speak on the public record about this petition? I think we'd already gone through the process of approving the major chunk of this. Is there any discussion on the board? Any motions? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation as stated.
Is there a second? So the motion is to approve staff recommendation. Is there a second?
Eileen, second.
So Eileen seconds it. The motion is to approve staff recommendation. Sean, how do you vote?
Yay.
This is Catherine. Yes.
Eileen, yes.
Make sure your mic is on, Nick. Push the right side button. There you go.
Yes.
Motion is approved. Congratulations. Thank you.
Just for a point of clarification, I was just whispering to Caitlin. You all made the recommendation that they switched and put her name first and then the Mrs. second. So that was not part of staff recommendation. So I just want to make sure that that's very clear.
That was a suggestion, I think. And so that's their, let's say that's their prerogative. If you want to
that's,
do that.
I just wanted to make sure because a lot of times they'll come back and somebody will say, well, they switch it? So
thank you for that clarification. So the staff recommendation is to approve as it stands the way it's here. I think it's not our prerogative to tell you how to do this. I think these are just suggestions. So if you take that suggestion, that's great. And then if you want to run it by staff, just to make sure everything is above board, that's fine. But yes, thank you for that. To clarify, the staff recommendation is to approve as stated in this application. So motion is approved. Moving on, I'm assuming this is what everyone is here for. Item number three is the petition of Visit Savannah. For the City Market sculptural letter installation, and we'll hear from Caitlin. This is something we heard in October, and it was continued to this meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval for sculptural letter installation at City Market at approximately 232 West St. Julian Street and Jefferson Street. Just as a refresher from the October meeting, I'll just go over the application packet. So just from the aerials, the City Market photos from the perspectives, the map. The mock-up. Here is their measured drawing. Okay, so the overall height of the letters is 4'9", and the overall width of the sculpture is 13'8", which will be set atop an aluminum mounting plate and bolted into the concrete. The project history, the submittal was first heard at the October 5th, 2023 Historic Site and Monument Commission meeting. Board members had questions regarding the legality of who is responsible for maintenance of the sculptural letters. There were members of the public who spoke in opposition, stating the proposed project is a sign rather than public art and is thereby subject to the city ordinance for special sign districts. However, this was submitted as a public art to the HSMC, but just for the record, what was said last meeting. There were also concerns about the size of the letters and how that would impact the foot traffic flow in the area and whether this is not aligned with the Oglethorpe plan. The HSMC decision was to continue the application to install the sculptural letters at 232 Jefferson Street to the December 14th meeting to provide the applicant time to address the legal documentation for the maintenance of the proposed letters and measurements of the space on either side of the proposed letters. In the updated submittal packet items, the applicant included a memorandum of understanding for the SAV sculptural design project between the City of Savannah, City Market, and Visit Savannah. So I'll show that. Specifically, Section 3, Ongoing Care and Maintenance, which details the City Market management will assume responsibility for the ongoing care and maintenance of the sign, including regular inspections, repairs, daily upkeep, and all other necessary and appropriate upkeep. As for the second condition, providing the measurements, this information was not included at the time of the writing of the report and thus was kept on the list of conditions. However, staff would like to make a note that in the time between the writing of the report and this meeting, the applicant did provide those measurements. With regard to the standard that reads the location of public art in the landmark district should respect the Oglethorpe plan, particularly in terms of historic view sheds and sight lines, staff found that although the street is closed to vehicular traffic, it still does read as a street. The SAV letters would not obstruct the roadway in such a manner that would no longer be apparent that this was once a street within the Oglethorpe plan. Further, there are other large installed objects along the former roadway, such as a gazebo, built-in benches around trees, and wooden box planters for trees, none of which destroy the view shed of West St. Julian Street. At the last meeting, concerns of vandalism were mentioned, and staff is recommending that, if possible, to apply a graffiti-resistant coating on the letters to help prevent permanent damage. As for the signature sign company meeting the standard for designers slash fabricators slash artists, according to their website, Signature Sign Company is a leader in the sign industry with one of the most creative sign portfolios in America. They've been a full-service sign company for over 30 years in Cleveland, Ohio. The portfolio shows various signs of quality work along with examples provided in the application packet. Although the company creates large-scale productions, that does not necessarily negate the fact that there are on-staff artists and designers doing the work. As for public notice, several comments were received and uploaded to the agenda, and that was, some of these have been there at the time the preliminary came out. Some were published with the final agenda this morning, but I also wanted to make note that two additional comments did come in via email after the final agenda was published. Both those were in opposition, as all of the other comments are. Just putting it out there so everybody is aware. And then the staff recommendation is, staff recommends the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for the installation of the SAV sculptural letters at the proposed location in City Market near the intersection of West St. Julian Street and Jefferson Street with the following conditions: because the project meets the standards in the master plan and guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. One, include measurements of space on either side of the proposed sculptural letters indicated on the drawings. And two, if possible, apply graffiti-resistant coating that could assist with preventing permanent damage from vandalism. Thanks. I'll take your questions.
Thanks, Caitlin. And just for the record, all of the public comments are on the public agenda that are accessible through the public. And Caitlin, you did say there's a couple that came in just recently. Those will...
We will add those.
Assuming they'll be uploaded as well. So everybody, those were all actually in opposition. So I don't think we have had one in favor so far. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Any questions of staff, Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this question might actually go to Pam. So, Caitlin, can you go to the memorandum of understanding? Scroll down to 3.1. Yes. So in that, it's – so the applicant is applying for it as art, correct?
Correct.
However, the memorandum of understanding is maintenance of the sign. So if it's – so in, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to be a legal ease – I haven't watched the People's Court yet today. So wouldn't that mean that it doesn't – cover art, it only covers signs? And if this is being approved and applied for as an art, then this memorandum of understanding doesn't apply. Is that a correct statement, or am I thinking this way too much?
I may defer to Pam.
That's why I said this may go to Pam.
Just legal expertise.
Defer to our legal counsel.
The thing is that the city actually, I don't know who drafted this.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the applicant drafted it or the city attorney drafted it. But it would be construed against the drafter. So I don't know if the applicant could answer who drafted this memorandum.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so then I'll table my question until we Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions of staff at this time? Okay, if there's no other questions of staff, then we can have the petitioner come up.
Good afternoon again.
Good afternoon.
I'm Joe Marinelli from Visit Savannah. Thank you for the opportunity to come back again this afternoon. You know, we've completed all of the process and paperwork as outlined by your guidelines. We have addressed and answered the questions that you put before us when we met in October and have submitted all that for record. And we would just like to ask for your support to move forward.
And we appreciate you doing the due diligence with the memorandum of understanding. Can you, Sean, I think you had a question.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to restate my question, based off of what Pam had just stated, it would determine who was the drafter of the memo, who drafted the MOU.
Yeah, that was written by the folks at City Market. And then sent through the city attorney's office. And was modified a bit at the city attorney's office.
Pam, does that provide any clarification as to how to answer my question?
In terms of whether it was intended to be a sign or a structure?
Correct.
Something that I...
I don't want to speak for Mr. Chairman, but... Director Wilson.
From looking at this, pardon me if I may.
Could you just state your name?
My name is Melanie Wilson. I'm the executive director for the Metropolitan Planning Commission. Looking at this, the way that it is written, it's ongoing care and maintenance. It looks like the standard agreement that the city uses for everything. I don't really honestly think they looked that closely probably at this piece of it. They probably made changes to other components of this agreement. But based on what I've seen for other projects, this is kind of boilerplate language. So it might be something that they just overlooked just to let you know. So I'm just letting you know it's standard language. It's not anything that's special with regards to whether it's a sign or not. This is... If it was construed that way, then it would have been sent to a different board for a decision versus it coming to this board for art. Thanks.
Thank you, Director.
Does that clarify?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
But I see.
I mean, I think we have a fundamental. There's a fundamental question. We can't dance around the issue that there's a fundamental question we're going to have to address here. That's
right. And so just to be clear, I'm not saying Director Wilson, you avoided my question. You answered it, but it doesn't add any clarity. So
are there any other questions of the petitioner? I am assuming there's a lot of people here that are here to speak on the public comment period. Anything you wanted to say, Joe, or is there any other questions of Joe? Have you seen the public? Have you seen the comments?
Yeah, except for the last couple that will be added.
So you get the gist of.
I sure do.
Okay. Any other questions of the petitioner? If not, we can. Sean.
Hold on. Sorry, I just want to make sure.
Hold the phone. Go ahead. Stop the clock.
Oh yeah, that different one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean again. So just to clarify, the drafter was City Market.
City Market Management.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I couldn't remember. And
sure.
Then from what Director Wilson had said, it's pretty standard boilerplate. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Was there anyone else that wanted anyone else on the petitioner's side that wanted to speak from your camp, Joe?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. If that's the case, then we will open this up to the public comment. So if you are here to comment on the public record for or against this, you could just step to the podium and state your name and your affiliation, if any. Yes, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Andrew Jones. I'm chair of the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition, a 501c3 devoted to preserving the landmark district. And in our view, this proposal is a sign, as we have just seen. And the sign is not permitted under the ordinance, and further, it violates the monument guidelines. What governs is the definition of a sign in the ordinance. These are the rules that apply. And a sign is an object to attract attention to an idea or location by any means, including words and letters. That's exactly what we have here. And in City Market, there's special rules that apply to signs. So all of this has been considered in advance through our ordinance, which has been approved by our proper modes of governance. And as you can see in table 9.95, it has provisions for ground signs. This is a ground sign. It's attached to the ground, and it is a monument sign. And it could also, I mean, it's a special public sign. So the bottom line is you can say it's art, and maybe it's art, and maybe it's a monument, and it does need to come to you. But clearly, under the ordinance, it is a sign. Under the definition of a sign, there are provisions for signs in City Market. Interestingly, a COA, Certificate of Appropriateness, is required, and it's also required, of course, under Section 3.192, because this is a sign greater than 3 square feet in size. Now, if they apply for a COA, and the ordinance is applied, the sign will simply be denied, because under Section 9.917G37, channel lettering like this is strictly prohibited in the City Market District. And as you can see right there, this is what's called channel lettering, and as they've called it, sculptural lettering, three-dimensional letters that is defined as often being made in sheet metal, such as aluminum. And this proposed sign will have ill effects on the integrity of the National Historic Landmark District, which is a very serious issue at this point in time. The West St. Julian Street remains a street under the Oglethorpe Plan, under the ordinance, and it's protected under Section 7810A1. Permanently blocking the street with a large sign alters the plan. And even the applicant, if you can remember in the last hearing, referred to West St. Julian Street, not as a street, but as their courtyard. So they have already tried to change the Oglethorpe plan under their own words. This proposal also fails to meet the monument guidelines, which say that the object should enhance the character of the surrounding neighborhood and that it should be respectful of the architectural and historical context of the site. This sign is clearly not respectful. In fact, the applicant says so, claiming that the letters will exude a sleek and modern appeal. Those are their words. We have to mention that Visit Savannah is involved in many of the threats to the historic integrity of and quality of life in the historic district. It's time to stand up and ensure that the laws of the city are applied to them. And as I think you've picked up, this proposed sign is under the jurisdiction of the Historic District Review Board. They should be reviewing this as a sign in the historic district under these provisions. But if you know, it's being directed to you in the hope that you will turn a blind eye to all of these laws that apply, that you are not typically expected to have to review. So please do not turn a blind eye to all of these requirements. You should turn down this proposal. It needs to go through the proper channels. And I will mention that I have introduced as into the official record as evidence 5 documents, certified copies of the general sections of the ordinance that apply, certified copies of the special sign district, a letter to Jay Melder on this issue, a letter to the HDBR on this issue, and this PowerPoint as well. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. And we did get your letter, and it is in the public record. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else here to speak on the public record? Yes, sir. Could you just state your name and your affiliation, if any?
Hello, my name is Gary Radke. I'm a resident of Washington Ward in the city of Savannah. I want to reinforce what Andrew Jones just said. I printed out what this sign might look like, but my also I happen to look at it through the thing. And if you turn it around, as it will be seen or would have been seen, hopefully, because you're not going to accept this idea, we would have a sign that basically seems to say Vaz, because this is a freestanding object that would be seen from the street. This is not appropriate to or defensible for the public art or monuments, let alone for the historic district. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And one of our previous board members actually did bring up that issue as well. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak on the record? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Artis Wood. I'm getting over this. I hope you can hear me. Staff reports fill out answers to standard questions that you have received. For example, will the installation of an object cause overcrowding by such things as sidewalks, existing objects, trees? Staff could say no in this instance, since the question does not include does it crowd out spaces where many people gather and walk to and fro. The SAV sign would not only do that, but also be an attractive nuisance to climb on and in. The top of the V is a particularly dangerous protrusion of metal at the head height of most people. I see a lawsuit, so just say no. Savannah has the prestige of being designated as a landmark historic district. Landmark means it has significance not just to us, but the whole country. Historic means we can be connected to our past by our buildings, our sites, and our monuments. The SAV sign does not do this, so just say no. Districts reference the boundaries and size. Although we have the largest historic district in the country, it is only 3% of Savannah. A golden goose that must be cherished and protected. A SAV sign is of no significance to our country. It only waters down the essence of our city. You have the CLE sign referenced in Cleveland. There are also a number of these kitschy signs in the Caribbean islands I have seen recently. Don't dilute our treasure. We must allow that Visit Savannah has done its job, bringing lots and lots and lots of people here. The only problem is that their mandate does not include a number after which we can say enough. The Peace Corps says their job is to work themselves out of a job. By such a measure, Visit Savannah has been a success. And I say rest on your laurels for a while. More than enough can be poison. Shelling out $200,000 for this ill-placed sign in a city with almost 40% living below the poverty level is obscene. Just say no. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Susan Atkinson, I'm a resident of Troop Ward, and I think it's pretty apropos that we just heard from Mrs. Myrick, who was quoted as saying, known to say, Savannah's beauty is our duty. And I would say that we have visitors to Savannah for our beauty, and I would argue that our beauty is our natural historic district, our trees, preservation and conservation of what we have. That's what draws people here, not signs. Signs detract from the natural beauty that we have. So that's my objection. I think the historic district needs to be preserved for its beauty, and that's what makes us popular as a city. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Yes, sir.
My name is Ernest Seals. I live on Columbia Square. I just wanted to share my opinion that this SAV sign, the metal sign, should probably be located on the Eastern Wharf rather than in the historic district. The historic district has strength, it has history, it has depth, and aluminum does not reflect that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on the record? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Beth Morey, and I'm just a concerned citizen, and I would object to it for four reasons. It seems to contradict the character of Savannah that people come here to see, and it's seen by people would be seen who by people who are already here, so it seems sort of pointless, and to me it looks like a bit of an eyesore and would be a waste of public funds.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else here to speak on the record? Anyone else? Well, thank you all for taking your time to come here. This is one of the functions that I always say this at these meetings, but this is one of the core functions that this board serves as a forum for public comment. And that's something that we do weigh heavily in our decisions. So we appreciate the feedback. We can move to board discussion. Anyone want to kick that off? Go ahead, Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know for those, I'm just laughing because it's like, hey, Sean, just go ahead and kick off.
Somebody will jump in.
Yeah, leave it to me to be the loud one. Hey, this is the last one I get to do this on, so.
Is this your last meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about that later.
So I've got mixed feelings on this, right? One, I think, as I said at the October meeting, art is extremely interpretive. It's just like music. Somebody could literally slam a door and say that that's considered music. Is it music? You're going to have the same debate as to whether or not the SAV proposed, structure is either art or sign. I still have the extreme concerns about its damage. I know, yes, it'll be held responsible by, I still don't even know if city market management will be held accountable for it since it's going through us, but we don't have any jurisdiction over signs. So I know that Director Wilson, stated that it's could have just been overlooked. However, I'm also thinking of a lot of other different precedents where basically that's throwing it entirely into a cluster. Now, at the end of the day, we're just really making a recommendation to council. So council is really going to have to make the final decision. But I think it's a great idea. There is, if I remember correctly, there is one going in across the river, which is on
private Hutchinson property, Island, yeah.
Or residential, right, excuse me. So it doesn't fall under this jurisdiction. So I still am very, very questioning. Some of the public comment I heard where I could make a very, very different argument where one of the speakers had said, oh, well, it's just bringing people on. Well, guess what? There are also a ton of trees throughout the entire city of Savannah where we have 150-plus-year-old oaks. Specifically, I can think of one in the greatest park in the city of Savannah, Edgemere Sackville Neighborhood Park, where it's a very old tree and kids can easily climb and play all over that one. So I'm open to any additional suggestions from the board, but I'm very, very torn on this one.
I would make a clarification just for people here. We are a recommending body, so whether we approve or deny this, we'll go through city council for final approval. If we deny, the petitioner has a right to appeal. Whether this goes through historic district review or us, it's the same process. The city council is going to have to weigh in at one point or another. And we could sit here for hours and debate whether it's a sign or a piece of art. And we have had that discussion about murals, whether it's a commercial piece or whether it's an art piece. But the fact is we're here and we're in this process and the petitioner has gone through and done what we've asked them to do. I would find it unfair to make them go back to yet another board at this point. We're here doing this now. Everyone is here for our public comment. I mean, one of the things I will say is the opposition to this, is a bit overwhelming and that's really a hard, I've always found it hard to vote to approve something when something has such overwhelming disapproval, but I'm not going to be voting unless there's a tie. So, Nick, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I'd like to bring something.
Oh, make sure your mic is on.
I'd like to bring something to write with, but some legal issues were brought up. And the last meeting, as I recall, we were going back to the city attorney to check those out. And I was wondering what the status of that is.
So Pam did. So there were a few issues with liability issues. Pam, do you want to comment on those?
Sure. Those are not within this board's jurisdiction, and so there was no need to get a legal opinion on them.
I spoke with Pam, and basically, yeah. I mean, there's a number of liability issues surrounding this, potentially, maybe, but that is not within our purview. Okay. So.
So we can do any illegal.
So we move along and don't address those questions because that's not what we're here to do. Is that right, Pam? Cool. Thank you. And I told Pam to please jump in if we run afoul of our parameters. So, I will also say that this is our job here is not to approve or disapprove something or approve or deny, excuse me, something based on our personal opinion. I may hate something. That is not what our job should be here. We're here to make sure that all of these, the rules are followed. Staff does their approval just based on the law and the rules and the ordinance themselves. And then we take into consideration public comment and whether this is appropriate for the area. I mean, I think that's definitely an issue that has come up and a number of people have spoken on that. Is this appropriate to the area in the historic, downtown? We've had a number of public art, proposals come in front of this commission that I personally voted against, even though I liked them because they faced such opposition. So each individual here is going to, you know, make their decision accordingly. Excuse me, but we're not here to vote for or against something just because we don't like the way it looks. You all are free to voice your opinions on that. And that is something we can consider for absolutely, but it shouldn't be a personal, personal preference on our part. Do we want to make a motion? Is there, as I said, this does have to go to City Council ultimately, whether it's approved or denied, and the petitioner does have the right to appeal one way or another. I mean, I would also say there's plenty of other places to put this if it doesn't go downtown. I mean, the Eastern Wharf is a good idea. Somebody mentioned the airport. I don't know. Eileen, do you have any thoughts?
In looking at other places that have used this sort of signage, I think City Market, though, is such a short vista that the one that is approved to go at the Trade Center, I sort of see that because, you know, you talk about having using this as a photo op. Well, just the sheer size of it in that small space isn't going to give you a good shot or a view of anything. So I don't think it's an appropriate placement.
Captain.
If I look at this as art, I think it's garish. I'm sorry. I don't think, and I've been racking my brain since October trying to figure out what would be a better location that would not detract from the historic district and the beauty of the historic district. And frankly, I can't think of anywhere where large aluminum letters would look good in the historic district. I also have concerns about, as Eileen stated, the vista, because it is a short space there. Frankly, I just don't think it's an appropriate look for the historic district.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. So I suggest, and Catherine, you just kind of give me an epiphany, and Eileen, you as well, with where else to put it, right? I can think of a place that is going for a historic national significance right now. I don't know the status of it, that has two ghastly, disgusting, hellacious, vomitous busts that are sitting in the middle of the park. Get rid of those two things. Put the SAV sign right there.
No, I'd vote against that. I'd vote against that. Sorry. Get rid of the bus.
But my suggestion is I make a motion to deny staff's recommendation because it does not fit in the location doesn't work. It's going to be too much of an impediment, especially on St. Patrick's Day or other high traffic areas. I understand that all the I think it's just going to be way too much of an impediment because there's just flat out not enough space.
Okay, so there is a motion on the table to deny staff recommendation. Is there a second for the motion?
This is Catherine, I second.
So there's a motion to deny staff recommendation and a second. Any discussion? Any discussion? The motion is to deny staff recommendation. Sean, how do you vote?
Yes. Wait, hold on. Just to clarify.
Voting yes is to deny.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Yes.
Voting yes is to deny.
Catherine.
This is Catherine. I vote yes.
Eileen, yes.
Nick Henry, yes.
My apologies. The motion fails. The motion passes to deny. Is that correct? We know what we're doing up here. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming, and thank you all for your feedback. And as I stated before, this will go through City Council, so be prepared for that. Okay. Moving on, if everyone could just make sure we're still having a meeting. So moving on, we're going to move to the calendar of meetings, the final calendar of meetings PDF. I have a question. I will save it till the end. Caitlin.
All right. So we have the 2024 calendar of meetings just posted for y'all, but then, okay. I guess the last order of business is for you to appoint a three-person nominating committee for chair, vice chair, and secretary.
So I wanted to ask of the rest of the board if we, yeah, we did it. It was prolonged, right? It's supposed to be each January, and then we dragged our feet or something.
Yeah, there's always our meetings get canceled and we get behind.
I was also going to see if this. So I read the bylaws, and the bylaws don't say how we have to vote. I'm wondering, does this three-person committee work for everyone? It seems a bit odd for me, quite honestly. All the other commissions I've served on, which is one actually, but the other one was people nominate for positions, and then the person either accepts or denies, and then they have a secret ballot. And since we have such a small crew here, doing a three person, and the ex officio can't be an officer, right? So that leaves and I can't be a part of that. So there's like a default. I mean, right. I don't have to like pick anybody. So I'm wondering, do we think this is a good way of doing this going forward, or do you have another suggestion? I would prefer the nomination process, but I'm fine to stick with this too. I don't want to make it different. It just seems like with such a small board, doing a three-person, you want to know that the person wants the position, right?
Right.
And I mean, you're obviously going to be nominating someone within that group for the positions. It just seems a little weird to me. I don't know. And I'm not mistaken, right? The bylaws don't, there's nothing saying that we have to do it that way.
It just says, officers shall be elected from among the members of the commission.
Right.
So it doesn't say how.
I mean, do you all have thoughts on that?
This is Catherine. Since three of the four voting members would be on the nominating committee,
right?
It does seem a little.
Yeah,
it's a little weird. So I was just saying, so the idea is that, I mean, we did this with you, and then we did this when I was elected, but it's a three person. I don't know. How did you phrase it? And so the chair is supposed to appoint a three person nominating committee. The ex officio can't be on the nominating committee. The chair can't be on the nominating committee. So it's just the people left on the board are going to be the nominating committee. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And it's also weird. Yeah. I think that's kind of where I was going with this. Sean.
Sorry. I had to use my good arm for that one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Point of clarification, the ex officio member can be on the nominating committee, that he or she cannot be a
right.
part of one of the three offices.
Okay, right. Yeah, thanks
just
for the clarification.
Clarify that one.
Right, okay, thanks.
Because I've been on every single one that I've
yeah, you're right.
on.
Yeah, thank
and
you for that.
You asked for additional comment. My only other suggestion is, and again, as I stated previously, this is also my last meeting because I term out from the Park and Tree, is why do we need three officers?
That is in the bylaws.
Well, right, but it also says that there has to be the nominating committee, right? Isn't
right.
that what she just showed? So if
it doesn't show the
bylaws don't say.
Yeah. It doesn't show the committee,
correction.
Just the
bylaws
officers.
Say there has to be a chair, a vice chair, and a secretary.
Okay. My personal opinion is I don't understand why there has to be a secretary since what?
I mean, technically, if we
opinion.
Wanted to, we could change that. I don't know if we want to. That seems like a lot right now, but. Let's not. Let's just leave it.
I didn't want to open that rabbit hole. So
now the bylaws state that there needs to be, and I mean, we could also change the bylaws if we want to just have a chair and a vice chair. I wasn't proposing we go that far. I was just proposing we might just collectively nominate a chair and a vice chair and then subsequently vote on that person. Does mm-hmm. that sound okay?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
I think that's
great. Let's do it that way. Cause that way it's not like the three people. I know what the problem was. Part of the problem was that some people were absent, that the three people couldn't
that's
get
right.
together. So it kept going to the next month and the
yeah.
next month. So on that note, does anyone, this is my third year as chair and I can't serve as chair, although I could serve as vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
You can self-nominate, right? I can't be chair again. So it has to be someone else that can't be the ex officio member. But Sean, you're cycling out anyway, right? So Does anyone have a nomination?
I mean, I don't mind doing it at all, if that's what y'all want.
Sean?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I nominate Dr. Catherine for chair.
So I think Pam, with this process, just the person would just accept the nomination, right? We're not voting right now, right?
Oh. You could actually vote if you wanted to. It doesn't say that you have to do it in a separate meeting.
Okay.
So you go ahead and you
let's
nominate
just take
and you
care
want to
of
vote
it now.
And you take care of it today.
So do you accept the nomination? Well, I guess should there be a second? Okay, and you accept the nomination. Is there a nomination for a vice chair? John?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I make a motion to nominate Chairman Christopher as vice chair.
Second.
Okay, so the nomination, and I accept the nomination. So there's two motions for Catherine as chair and myself as vice chair. Is there a nomination for secretary? Sean. Come on. Who wants to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay. I will nominate Eileen.
What does the secretary do?
Has the title of secretary.
Okay. Secretary. I second.
Okay. So there's a second. I mean, so Lisa actually made sure that we knew what when our terms were ending. I would actually like to know that. That was something I was going to bring up later. There was a second. Yes, there was a second. So the motions are for Catherine as chair, myself as vice chair, and Eileen as secretary. Do we vote all ourselves? How does that work?
I think you can just.
Okay. Sean, how do you vote?
Yay.
Catherine?
Yes.
I'm going to vote yay.
Eileen, yes. Yes.
All right. Unanimous. So we'll have it. So you'll be sitting here and I'll sit wherever they put me.
I get to just break time.
Yeah. You get the count. But just make sure you read properly and do this. That's about it.
Fresh.
Yes, Eileen.
Question. So when Sean is no longer the chair, then whoever there will be a park and tree.
So you guys will be electing the chair next meeting?
It's actually Tuesday.
Are you off the commission completely or just off as chair?
So I've termed out. I can no longer serve. So yes, I am off, but I will remain, but not as a chair until my role has been replaced or filled by council.
And I have a dumb question, and I think this was already made available to us, but I'm wondering when my term is up, because I know I've been on this for ages.
I think Bree has the information now on her.
Okay. Well, then do you have it at your fingertips, Bree? I'll just come talk to you afterwards. I should know, but to be honest with you, this is not a criticism of the clerk of council, but I've gotten multiple different dates and letters and stuff. So I went back and checked my records and they're not entirely accurate. So I just want to know when I have to leave. But we don't have to do it now. I'll come talk to you later. Okay. Does anyone else? So the next meeting is January 4th, 2024. And are there any petitions?
We do have three. There's two historical marker signs and one honorary street naming. And honestly, I've not checked. I don't know if anything came in at the last minute today, but I know for sure we have three. So we will be here.
I just realized, should I read this or was this just meant for me to sign? Okay, never mind. Okay.
Yeah, I actually wanted to take this time. Thank you all for coming because it's the holiday. So I'm appreciative when people show up. Thank you. Yes. I do want to take this opportunity to introduce you to Jonathan Mellon. He is the new director for historic preservation and urban design, which is what the department name is now. We're excited to have him. He was kind of with us from a consulting standpoint on and off and, has a really good background, in not only historic preservation, but more importantly, just planning and zoning, and other issues like that seem to always come up with historic preservation projects. and they're coming up more and more and more. He's got a wealth of experience working with both the National Historic Landmarks Commission to the City of New York, getting things commissioned there, as well as working from a more kind of fundamental basics with a smaller jurisdiction, doing zoning reviews and rewrites. So I'm really excited to have him here. I'm sure you'll see and hear more from him. But just wanted to make sure that I welcomed him and that you saw who he is and know who he is. So if you say hello, he says hello in the street, you'll know.
Thank you, Melanie.
Great. Yeah. Good to meet you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you my whole background, just that I started the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
And I worked there for 5 years under Henry Stern, who was a somewhat eccentric but famous New York City Parks Commissioner, and worked on a lot of monuments. I shared an office with Jonathan Kuhn, who is the Director of Art and Antiquities for the City of New York, who oversees all the sculptures and monuments in
New
York City. So I'm very familiar with what you all do.
That's excellent.
I really look forward to working with you.
I lived in New York for about a little over 7 years.
Well, you came for the right meeting then.
Yeah. Thank you, Melanie, for that too.
Great to meet you.
Great to meet you. Does anyone else have any new business? Okay. If not, then the meeting is adjourned.